Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it, play it, dig it.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We are talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 59. This is Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny. And
hey.
How are you, baby?
I'm good.
So I've started doing a little holiday shopping.
Have you?
Not really big, because I've kind of decided with my family and my girlfriend that we're not really doing anything intense this year. But I had some friends and they adopt a family. And so I got a family and I got to go to the Target and buy toys and clothes and stuff for an 8-year-old boy.
Oh, how fun.
And, you know, you got to adopt one of the children or pick. And, you know, some people just bought a gift, but I kind of set a budget in my head and went to Target. And I just brought in bags of stuff for this kid. And my friends were like, oh, my God. And I was like, well, you have no idea like what this X amount of dollars will get you. Yeah. It was so much fun to know like what are wrestling figures. So I called a friend of mine who has kids. She's like, oh, that's the WWF wrestling guys. And then to check out pick out a remote controlled car, which was on his list and stuff like that. And also to buy little khakis and little cargo pants and shoes and snow boots. And
that's so cute.
It was really, really fun. It's something that, I don't know if through your, organizations or philanthropy or community organizations, you can find a way that if you do have means to adopt a kid or take some toys. But I just found it most fun because I don't ever go in. I don't have any nieces or nephews, so I don't ever get to go in those aisles of the Target. You know,
I'm really? I always go in them.
Do you?
I always look at the new toys to see what the new kids. Dora the Explorer is super hot, I have to tell you.
Yes. One of my friends got the little girl. His little sisters has two twin sisters, got her Dora the Explorer. Little tricycles.
Hot.
Oh my God, they are so cute. And these lesbians were like putting them together and they had them under the tree and they were matching because there's two twin
that.
Little girls. Yeah.
I wish there was a lesbian putting stuff together when I was a little kid. My parents were like, where did this tab be in a slot? What?
Yeah. And then the stickers are like all over your head and your hands get bent, you know.
I'm shampooing with twist ties.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all kind of sad. But it is one of those, it's the season where to me it is definitely far more fun for me to give than to get. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I really it was so fun to have a little bit of the kid in me for Christmas. And I know most people listening probably have nieces or nephews or young kids in their life, but It's interesting. Yeah. I don't have a ton. I know some people who've adopted kids and have babies.
Yeah, I actually don't. I don't. There's no kids in my life. That yeah. There's no. Definitely
no relatives.
You need
kids for Christmas. You need kids for Christmas in some ways. It's
but I'm just a big kid, so I buy toys for myself.
I know. Well, you haven't given me your list, Peter.
I buy tech toys. No, seriously, everybody. This is what I've told everybody, and I really don't like because I think sort of as adults, there's this pressure to give presents and receive presents if you can. So I'm really not into that. But me and my family, we're usually the only ones who exchange anything.
Right.
And I told everybody, I was like, you know what I like, so you know where I shop. Therefore, I just want gift cards.
Yeah. What is the gadget though that you? Because you're such a gadget guy. Like, do you have a dream list of some things? Like, if somebody said, we're gonna get you 4 gifts, so you just, and it doesn't matter the price point, what do you want? I mean, it can't be a car, but you know.
It can't be a car. Okay.
obviously, you can be for this dream world if you want. I don't want to put boundaries.
I do like the little Echoes. I think they're really cute.
Is that a car?
The Toyota Echo.
Oh,
Echo.
They're really cute.
I like the new Toyota Ravs. Have
you and your SUVs?
Yeah, I want a hybrid. Yeah, but I drive in the snow, baby, and I got to have some...
I've lived in Chicago my entire life, and we had worse snow than this.
I'm not saying it's bad snow. It's just being a single girl. I don't want to get stuck in it, you know?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's right, because you can't change a tire.
I can't change a tire if you've not watched our video, The Flat Tire, right. Which actually I think one of mine's pretty low, Peter, so I might need you to look at it.
No, I think I would love a brand new Macintosh laptop, one of the new Intel chips.
Too.
I think that would be delicious.
I think I might ask for one, but I don't know what to ask for. How do you do your best research for that?
Just apple.com. And I find the internet, like when I'm really drooling, like really when I start salivating, mm-hmm. and I get chills on my arms. That's how I know what I want.
Now, you get the refurbished ones, right?
Well, you can. I don't know that I'd buy one of the Intel refurbished ones just yet. I think if you want to go on the little cheap, you can buy a PowerBook that's refurbished, and that's totally good.
Why would you want an Intel, and why would you not want an Intel processor?
I would just want an Intel because it's the new sexy thing to get.
Yeah.
Really.
Because they said that there's been some compatibility issues
with some of the software, yeah. But the reality is, if you're going to buy a new one, it's going to come with a lot of stuff on it already. And in fact, that's I think, the blessing of most Macs is that for what most people are going to do, all the stuff is preloaded on there. And for any of the software that I have, I'm able to get the binary copies, or I can go ahead and purchase they call it a universal binary.
Right.
So it's really
It wouldn't really affect any of your Microsoft Word or Works or Excel.
No. It really affects
your iTunes
video editing and audio editing software. The main it affects more multimedia applications. iTunes, not at all.
Maybe
really.
We should get matching ones, but yours is going to have a lot more pump stuff in your stump, because I don't need that much. But
so there's that. Okay.
I agree with you on that.
I would love an HD video camera, but if I get an HD video camera, that means that I have to have like 5 more hard drives, because HD involves a lot of hard disk space, and I don't have that. So that's another thing. And then I think the last thing I would really, 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 really love for Christmas, and I am going to ask Santa for this, and I think I'm actually going to get it, is a KitchenAid mixer.
And you can get them in different colors, you know.
You can. I am particularly fond of the white ones or the all chrome ones.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, because I think that'll match any place that I eventually live.
Yeah.
But I would love to have a KitchenAid mixer, because I'm a cookie freak.
You are a cookie freak.
I make cookies all the freaking time.
You made chocolate cookies this week.
I did. They're really... And you know where those cookies are from? They're from the Tribune's recipe. They're the number one best cookie
of the year. I saw that in the Tribune. I thought of you.
I have all three of the recipes.
They had pecan cookies too.
Yep. That's what I'm doing tomorrow, I think.
Look at you. You are so in the holiday spirit. Well, you know, I have to tell you that you're easy, because you can get you a gift card to one of those.
To anywhere. Linens and Things or Radio Shack.
Circuit City or Best Buys or anything. Well, my big question right now, and I know we talked about this a while ago, because you were talking about, you know, Comcast or not to Comcast.
Right.
And my big question now is for my DVR capabilities. I have been a TiVo owner, and if anybody's listening and has opinions on this, I would appreciate a comment, because I have been a TiVo lifetime subscriber since I think TiVo right when it came out. So I've had my TiVo for a long time, but I cannot watch TiVo on my HD television. This is the question.
You can't
watch it on, I mean, you can have it, but it won't record TiVo, and it'll screw up all your channels when you can't have TiVo, and you can't have an HD Comcast box attached anyhow to your TiVo. It just doesn't work. They don't have the right inputs. They have now put out now of course Comcast has their own DVR that goes right through their system. It's about $15 a month, because you have to get the HD box and then $10 for the service, right? So $15
Plus 10, so 25 extra a month.
Yeah. No, I think it's just 15. 15 plus some tax, so yeah, maybe 20. Okay. So the other option is TiVo now has put out this, talk about, it's the newest, hottest, flashiest thing. TiVo has now put out a DVR player that is their TiVo HD.
Ooh.
And it will record three freaking shows at the same time. It is slick, savvy, hot. It is awesome. And it would work with my HD Comcast box. Here's the catch. They won't transfer my lifetime membership because they're not doing lifetime memberships anymore. But because I was a lifetime member, they'll do it for $199 for the rest of my, it's a limited time. They're letting people who were lifetime people have it for lifetime for $199.
So $200 and you're done.
Right. However, this HD TiVo box is $799.
Wow, so you've just spent $1,000.
So you spent, you've spent $900 coming and going. My question is to do that because it's that important and I love TiVo and they're the only ones that have THX sound and audio in out there.
And you've got the system at home to.
I got
to,
the system at home.
You got the hookup, girl.
But I don't know whether to do that or whether to just do the $15 a month with Comcast, but then I will totally lose my TiVo lifetime ability. Capabilities. I have to start watching television HD because it's insane that I have an HD television and I can't watch in HD.
But are they going to take it away from you if you, like, you don't have to undo your TiVo subscription?
Well, I do. They will only honor my old subscription for one more year. I can give my TiVo to somebody who doesn't have high definition television. I could give it to you and you could have it for a year. And then after that year, you just have to pay the $12.99 a month on my old box.
So TiVo has told you, girl, you got one more year.
No, only if I transfer my membership. If I keep my old player, I'm still a lifetime member.
Well, then you should do that, girl, and just try the, you don't only have to try the Comcast for a month.
Yeah, that's true.
You should do that. You best up, girl. It's not an A or B. Do it both. Do them both.
Yeah. I just have a limited time to make this decision.
Maybe you'll have a month. You'll probably have into January.
Yeah, I don't know.
Order it tomorrow.
Anybody know if I should just jump off? You know, because our promotions director, Kathleen Ulm, she has the Comcast and she's like, it's really great. You can tape two things at once, but you just have to have one of them on your television channel. And I was like, I am not going to remember that when I'm taping like NBC that then goes to Bravo that then goes to NBC. God. I will not be home to make sure that I'm back on channel 5 to tape while I'm taping something else. So that's the, I don't know.
But I would say
just. I love the TiVo. I love it so much.
Order the Comcast doohickey, put your little TiVo box over to the side for a little bit.
It takes them a freaking month to like install you.
Maybe not. We'll see.
I don't know.
I'll help you. I'll hook you out.
Well, anybody knows places that I can go and look and research this? I would be, because I'm going to have to make some decision by the end of the year. I think that's when the offer is up from TiVo.
Right. Well, so you may be Santa may buy you a $1,000 Christmas present. There you go.
Maybe.
So on the entertainment news tip.
Yep.
Because I'm still plugged in. Vivica Fox is going to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm next season.
Is she really?
I'm so excited for that.
I like Vivica. She was so hot in Pulp Fiction, man.
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill.
She was. She was totally hot and it was awesome how she got axed. That was delicious.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why I never hear about David Lynch movies until they come out. I don't read his blog. I really should read his blog, but I never hear about his movies until like the last hour. He's got a new movie called Inland Empire coming out. Hmm. We're going to have Richard Knight Jr. on the show in about a week or so.
Yep.
I definitely got to get the skinny from him because I love his movies because they're the kind of movie where you start watching and you're like, I have no fucking clue what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
next.
Well, I love the Mulholland Drive just because those two women. Just I remember sitting in the movie theater going, "Are they gonna? Are they gonna? Are they gonna? Oh my god! It was so exciting.
I just got a little moist.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about
that'll be interesting because you know there's so many. You know he kind of slips those in at the end, but there's so many movies because I think this new Leonardo DiCaprio movie with Jaimon Hunsu, Blood Diamond. Which is the new film from Ed Zwick who did Legends of the Fall. Did Glory.
He did
30 something too. For those of you old enough to remember,
I watched 30 something.
There you go.
Which does that he mean I'm old?
He also did The Last Samurai, but we won't hold that against him.
I think that was not a bad movie.
Yeah, but it looks really great. And Leonardo, I would like your take on it, but he looks very manly and very buff.
He does.
It's the first trailer I've ever seen where I'm like, dude,
he's a man now.
Yeah.
He's not a little boy.
Dude looks like a man now. Yeah.
What was that underneath a blue moon where he was throwing his clothes off the side of the
underneath
where he was the artist.
Oh, where he played
who was taken in the
Verlaine
butt.
Or Rimbaud? He played one of them.
One of them. And they had to like poke him in his butt to see if he had been having gay sex.
What the heck was that called?
It's something underneath a blue moon or under a blue moon or under the moon.
It's Total Eclipse of the Heart. Total.
No.
It is Total. I think it's called Total Eclipse.
I was falling in love.
You can Google it. I think it's called Total Eclipse.
Okay, maybe that's right. That's something about a moon.
If I'm not sure. Eclipse would.
It wasn't Total Eclipse of the Heart, though. I know.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Once upon a time, there was love
Turn
in my life.
Bright eye.
Now there's only love in the dark. It's delicious.
Yeah.
So Vivi and David Lynch, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, God.
Do you know about this whole little quote thing?
No, I am just not a big Gwyneth Paltrow fan, but okay, tell me.
I'm not, but apparently she was speaking to a Portuguese newspaper or to a Spanish newspaper. I can't quite get the story right just yet. And somehow the translation came out that she said the British are much more intelligent and civilized than Americans. Because she lives in the UK now.
Well, I'm sure that the translation was...
right. Well, she's claiming she had to go back and like take seventh grade Spanish again. And she didn't. She never said that. She never meant that. What she intended to say was something completely different. But I was like, girl, if you are... This is rule number one about speaking in a foreign language.
Yep.
If you have any uncertainty about what you're saying, do not say it.
Yeah.
Talk to someone, especially being a big, rich movie star. You can have a little translator standing next to you and check your shit because you will offend people. And now there's this whole big thing with Gwyneth Paltrow versus America. So, girl, check
Dixie
your
Chicks,
shit, girl.
Dixie Chicks may be happy that some of the heat's off them now.
Right.
Somebody else over on another continent ill of the U.S.
Oh, my God. The Dixie Chicks are included in the show that I'm in. It's funny. I have a great line at the beginning of the show.
Excellent.
It's delicious. And finally, who knew... This blog now blows everybody else out of the water. I'm so addicted. This is my blog
what?
Of the week.
Ariana?
And in fact, I think, no, this almost even blows Ariana out of the water, although the Huffington Post isn't just Ariana. In fact, I think from now on, I'm going to try and come up with a blog quote for every episode.
Ooh.
But Meredith Vieira is on iVillage. She has a blog on iVillage.
What's the site? Well, how do you read her blog?
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be in the show notes. I think it's like meredithtoday.ivillage.com.
Okay.
So it's just meredithtoday.ivillage.com. She answers questions every Friday on her blog.
Oh, God.
And someone asked her the question that says, how do you like your new job compared to The View?
Oh, God.
So she has this lovely, and she's really a funny writer. She's really,
funny on The View.
She's fucking hysterical.
Well, let me just tell
View.
You, she has definitely been in my top 10 for a while.
Oh,
I think she is sexy, hot, and I've always thought she was.
She's so confident. She's
That's why she's just sexy.
Oh,
I love
she's
her.
She's just up there. So she goes on and she said, it's kind of like apples and oranges. I like The View because of this and blah, 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 blah. But the last line of it is, the biggest change is working with a man after being surrounded by four vaginas for 9 years.
I love her.
I was sitting at my desk today and I read that and I just started howling out loud. And one of my coworkers was like, Peter, are you okay? What are you doing? It's like, Meredith, oh my God, I love you. So that's my new...
Love her so much. And I don't watch her on her new show because I'm never up and I don't tape it. But I love her. So I think we should write in and ask her if she had to have a lesbian lover.
Would she have it?
Who would she have a lesbian? Who would she want to play her lesbian lover in a film?
Ooh.
Like, that's safe.
Sure. Do it. MeredithToday.ivillage.com. You know, I have to say...
Maybe I'll do it.
To her credit...
Maybe we should link her on our site.
We should. We should totally get in there. I'm totally going to put her in
love.
There. To her credit, there has been... absolutely no whispers about any problems with her on the show. You don't hear about her on the Today Show. Katie slipped out and she slipped right in.
Yeah, but do you hear anything about anybody behind the scenes in the Today Show? All those morning shows, even when Joan London was probably bitch on wheels years ago on Good Morning America, it was really an underground industry thing to anyone.
Honey, I've got a lot of connects still at 30 Rock. I know folks over there and everyone is like, it's just like they just swapped people and she's doing a kick-ass job and
she's back to
hardcore journey. But I think it's really a testament to how really good she is. There was really no adjustment period. She just popped in and that was it. And she's amazing. She's got the pace of the show. She's got the flow.
She's got the
totally
highlights.
With it.
You
should TiVo the Today Show a couple times because she is
I'll TiVo it tomorrow.
She is totally worth it. So on the show today.
Yes. On the show today, we're looking at the holiday season that we are now in. And this brings about a time when all of us, possibly not all of us, but most of us may have early memories of kind of religious connotations to this time of Christmas or Hanukkah or
birth of Christ.
Birth of Christ. time of year. And we're bringing back an old friend of mine, Reverend Greg Dell, from the Broadway United Methodist Church, just to kind of talk about how this, you know, how the religious organizations have grappled with the issue of homosexuality and the church. I guess we should say mostly Judeo-Christian. But a lot of the denominations, this has been a really big buzzword for denominations, Christian denominations, for the past handful of years. You know, the gay issue. Can gay people become ministers? Can gay people be married? Can you acknowledge gay members, lay people in your membership? So Reverend Greg Dell was voted Advocate Spiritual Man of the Year a number of years ago when he was on trial with the United Methodist denomination. He is a straight man. So it's very fascinating. And I sit down and talk with him about that and also just about how he sees worshiping during this time of year, during the Advent season. So Reverend Greg Dell on the show with us today is a very uplifting, amazing man and such a humble persona, which I loved when the media attention was all around him because he was just this kind of quiet, simple, still, serene, loving person, and so powerful in that.
He's always just who he is.
Yeah.
He's never different people.
Yeah.
It's him right there, and I think that purity of person is really what it's just a testament to how just great of a spiritual person he is to have it right there.
Worked together for years on the radio, and I know that there's been a lot of healing and insight through having Greg on. So I'm thrilled to have him on for the first time on the Windy City Careercast to be with us this season. So we have that, plus we have Jerry Potter's picks today, and Logan Schwartz and Grubinier, and lots more. So stay tuned. Just one look and I can hear a bell ring. One more look and I forget everything. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Mamma mia, here I go again. My, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again?
Mamma Mia, here we go again. The show you can't resist is coming back. Mamma Mia, the guaranteed get happy hit about a mother, a daughter, three possible dads, and a trip down the aisle you'll never forget. Packed with ABBA's greatest hits, it's got audiences dancing in the aisles all around the world. Now it's your turn to have the time of your life one more time.
Mamma Mia returns to the Cadillac Palace Theater December 12th to 31st. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Making your travel plans for fall? Thinking about that Christmas visit to mom's house and your old bedroom? Let the experts at GayHotelDiscounts.com find the luxury you're looking for at a price you can afford. If you need a queen in Phoenix or a king in Miami, GayHotelDiscounts.com can find the perfect room for you and your partner. Visit our website for gay destination cities and extracurricular ideas to dance off that second serving of mom's apple pie. GayHotelDiscounts.com for the gay traveler in you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Mr. Nudist Colony Activity Coordinator.
Wearing nothing but a whistle and a clipboard, you're living the real American dream. Getting paid to think up fun things to do, naked.
Running free.
Sure, there's danger. Vinyl chairs, sunburns, chafage, and lawn darts, completely out of the question.
Watch out now.
Your keen instincts tell you to stick to activities that involve lots of bouncing and jiggling. And if that doesn't work, who cares? You're all naked.
It's your birthday.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, nudie boy. Because we all know, when the going gets tough, the tough get naked.
The nudist college activity coordinator.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Logan Schwartz and Grubinier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is nosediving faster than Michael Richards' career. First, there was Mel Gibson with his anti-Semitic comments, which actually surprised no one. and then Danny DeVito showed up drunk on The View? Look, I'm all for free speech, but celebrities cannot go around saying idiotic things. Who do they think they are? President Bush? My dandad says that now, with all the homemade video websites, if a celebrity does anything in public, it will come out. I say, well, what about Tom Cruise? He's always on videotape, and he'll never come out. This is Logan Schwartz and Grubinier, and that's the bee in my bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 4th, 2006, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Chicago's renowned dynamic duo Amy Armstrong and Freddie Allen present their first ever holiday review, How the Diva Stole Christmas, in a limited engagement at the Lakeshore Theater. An unforgettable, side-splitting evening of music, comedy, and many surprises along the way. How the Diva Stole Christmas, Fridays and Saturdays through December 15th at Chicago's Lakeshore Theater. Call 773-472-3492 or log on to amyfreddie.com. For more.
Goodman Theater Artistic Director Robert Falls directs Frank's Home, a world premiere about Frank Lloyd Wright, one of our greatest, if less than perfect, visionaries. A man who created new architectural vocabulary but couldn't create a home for himself and his family. Frank's Home playing through December 23rd. Get tickets at 312-443-3800 or goodmantheater.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company continues its 10th season of Think Theater with The Real Thing, Tom Stoppard's sharply funny play about love and marriage. Playing now through January 7th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to The Real Thing, call 773-871-3000 or visit Remy Bumpo, remybumpo.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit thewindycitytimes.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jerry Potter's Picks. It is cold outside and everyone's getting ready for Christmas. So this week's picks are all about some fun Christmas shows to see while you're in Chicago. This weekend I'm seeing How the Diva Stole Christmas. It's a late night show at the Lakeshore Theater box office. The phone number there is 773-472-3492 or go to lakeshoretheater.com for reserving tickets. The Bailiwick has some great shows, kind of cornered the market on Christmas this year. That's bailiwick.org, bailiwick.org. They have the Christmas Schooner, which is a great family show I saw recently. You can bring the whole family to that one. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, maybe not for the kids, but very fun and adult. I've seen that in years past. They also have the Bare Naked Lad Save Christmas. Those are all really fun shows. You could just spend the whole night up there at Bailiwick Theater. The Theater Building Chicago.org has A Wonderful Life and the Fandland Diaries. Then we also have the Jeffrey Ballet at the Auditorium Theater doing the Nutcracker. And that's at the Joffrey, that's JoffreyY.com. Joffrey Ballet is doing the Nutcracker along with a few other companies. So get out of the snow. When you're done with shopping, have some fun. Go see a really, really fun show this Christmas and get more in the holiday cheer. Have a great week and keep listening to Jerry Potter's Picks.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Vernon Gibbs and Tony Halls got hitched Friday in South Africa's first gay wedding, one day after the government made same-sex marriage legal. Last Thursday, South Africa became the first country in Africa and only the fifth in the world to legalize same-sex marriages, despite opposition from political parties and religious groups. The Civil Union Act went into effect, requiring the marriage law to be changed to ensure equality for gays and lesbians.
Bonnie Blesichik, the nation's first openly big city lesbian fire chief, will step down from her post in Minneapolis amidst firefighter lawsuits that have accused her of harassment and discrimination. Three female firefighters have sued, alleging various acts of discrimination and sexual harassment. Two of the lawsuits were settled. Then a male firefighter sued, alleging he was denied promotions because he is male and heterosexual.
The Los Angeles Roman Catholic Archdiocese, the nation's largest, has agreed to pay approximately $60 million to settle 45 lawsuits alleging sex abuse by priests. The settlement involved 22 priests and was the largest settlement in the Archdiocese had ever reached.
WGAY-TV, America's first free-to-air GLBT terrestrial TV station, will launch in Key West, Florida at midnight January 1st. WGAY-TV got some national exposure when David Letterman recently aired a top 10 list of shows that will air on the station, naming such titles as Grey's Anatomy, Desperate Pool Boys, Everybody Loves Raymond, Especially Steve.
And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Thank you, parents. We hope you enjoyed the fifth graders' orchestra recital.
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Hi, Daddy!
Hey, thanks for watching the kids.
Anytime.
How were they?
Good.
No problems?
Nope. Oh, and I taught Noah his multiplication tables, and I've got Wendy reading Shakespeare.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Mr. Schmidt.
What are you doing in the bushes?
Oh, I was getting your newspaper.
My newspaper?
Yeah, I must have been off balance when I threw it and I totally missed the porch.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to have to go looking for it.
Thanks, Billy.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
The Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Mamma Mia. Dancing Queen, Take a Chance on Me, and more classic ABBA hits are woven into an enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at NewWorldAstrology.com.
This is Daphne Rubin Vega, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Greg Dell, the pastor at Broadway United Methodist Church here in Chicago, has been a frequent man on the mic with me, not only behind the pulpit, of course, here at Broadway United Methodist Church, but also in the midst of a lot of legal issues where the church's stance, the United Methodist Conference stance on homosexuality and the church and this denomination stood. He has been a mouthpiece on shows like CNN and local television news stations. He also was on board as a frequent contributor to Lesbi Gay Radio, if you listened to that program, which I know many of you did. As Minister with a Message, where we kind of went through and talk about topics of the day. And also has been someone very vocal about his political activism, peace marches and peaceful protests, and just really a great spiritual guide and link to me to finding more of the divine in my life. And so it's really great to sit down and talk with him during this holiday season. Also give you, whether you're listening in the Chicago area or in your own communities, a bit of inspiration, a bit of connection about the wholeness that maybe you can start to feel during this holiday season. And also ways in which you can get involved and connect with whatever connects you with your spirit during this time. So, Reverend Dell, thanks for being on.
Well, it's good to talk with you again.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on the radio together.
It has.
This used to be our usual weekly thing, and then it became kind of a seasonal thing. So maybe we can start making it with some more frequency. So let's talk a little bit about your views. You are a straight man,
right?
We should say, and yet you have become kind of a champion and a leader of the GLBT community, where Christian and Methodist denominations in those arenas over the past few years. Why has reconciling, which I guess is one of the words you use, mm-hmm. been important to you for your mission?
Well,
Amy, in your ministry,
I think there's a deep connection among all the issues of oppression that go on in our world and in our lives. I think whether we're talking about racism or sexism or heterosexism, we're talking about a fear-based kind of hatred and mean-spiritedness that's not really connected to the deepest part of who we are as individuals. That is created in God's image, we carry a divine light within us. And for that to be violated by the kind of hatred and bigotry that those isms and others like them represent, I think it's both an offense and a tragedy. So that's what's brought me into that kind of involvement, is seeing the connection and feeling the gift that comes when you live in the midst of diverse community, authentically diverse community, not just token diversity, but where folks with their different identities can come and have those identities truly celebrated and affirmed as gifts from God.
Well, we should say that the church that you are pastor of is literally for people not in the Chicago area, in the heart of Boys Town, in the heart of the gay community. You have a bar called The Closet across the street from you. So was that new for you when you came to this church, that you looked down the congregation and were like, I am ministering to GLBT people, and I have to put that in perspective?
No, actually, what in fact surprised me when I first came to Broadway in 1995 was that there was such a small percentage of gay folks, maybe 25-30%. It's probably close to 50-50 in the congregation now.
Of gay and straight.
Gay and straight, right. And counting bi as among those with the gay community as well. So part of my history since the late 70s when I was in Evanston has been a history that's been involved as an ally around issues of sexual orientation. That wasn't new for me. What I think became clearer in the time since I've been here is that what I referred to earlier, that kind of intersection of isms,
the ways
in which, for instance, racism and heterosexism are each their own animal, their own beast, but there are parallels in terms of the way religion is used to hurt people, in terms of the way in which communities are broken in order to hurt people and built up in order to affirm people.
Now, I remember, because I came to this church totally by accident, I was asked to sing here and had no clue where I was walking in. I knew it was United Methodist, and I was raised United Methodist, so I knew I'd know when to stand and what page to turn to and how to sing a response. Like, so that's a comfort zone that I felt comfortable in. But though I had been raised in a very, I was always in church as a kid. Once I went to college and started coming out, I really stopped going to church. And, you know, it took me a long time to really realize that probably some of that was me feeling like I didn't belong. Now, I think there are probably other people listening who knew very quickly, like when they discovered they were gay, like, I don't belong. Either they didn't have a background or a foundation of faith. But I remember one of the things that really struck me when I came to your service was you doing a communion service. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if you could just talk a little bit about what that communion, how you administer communion to a congregation that is so diverse and mm-hmm. is the way it was when I walked in, like what I would have heard.
Well, I think our focus when we celebrate the sacrament is on the way in which brokenness is a reality that can't be denied and it can't be ignored. So when we break the bread in the traditional way of saying this is the body of Christ broken, we say it's not just the body of Christ that was broken on a cross some 2,000 years ago. It's the brokenness that all of us know, the way in which our bodies, the way in which our minds and our spirits, the way in which our lives and our communities are often broken by external forces of violence and hostility. And that when we take that bread into ourselves, when we take that brokenness, we say, that's real. The hurt that's been done to me, the hurt that maybe is being done to me now, the hurt that's going on in my world, that's a reality that God acknowledges and says, in the midst of that brokenness, you're not alone.
And then that and we can equate fed. That obviously to our,
right.
if people have feelings of, and we all do. I don't care, the most sure. confident gay person, GLBT person probably has internalized homophobia. I've never met one who doesn't have some.
Right.
And or of time when they had it big.
Exactly. And when you take that into account and all of the other ways in which again, we're hurt or damaged or wounded, taking that bread is a courageous, miraculous event because it's a way of saying, we don't have to run from this, that we can be fed even in the midst of it. So then when we turn to the cup, we say, but the brokenness wasn't the last word, that when Jesus lifted the cup and he said, this is the cup of a new promise. That promise was a promise very basically that said death isn't going to have the last word. Not physical death, but just as importantly for many of us, not the death of relationships, not the death of families. That isn't going to have the last word. God promises life, always promises the gift of life, of resurrection, on the other side of every kind of death and brokenness. So to dip that broken bread into that cup and to see the way in which the healing almost visibly takes place as you see the sharp edges of the bread begin to melt becomes a symbol of a people who are willing to say, I'm not going to run from my brokenness, but I also know that I'm not going to be captured by it or made captive by it. That life is going to have the final word. As best I can be an ally and participant in that life, I'm going to be there.
And I think that's really been I always refer to this communion with you because to me it's just really who you are to me. Like, you are walking communion to me. Like, you and how I experience the services here at Broadway. And I know there are other churches throughout the U.S. who are having services like that. It's not like this is unique, except I'm so glad that it's something that I am close to and I can access, and many people probably can't. But I'm curious as to, what were the teachings and the things that you have continually been fed by? I know that you have had connection with Mel White, who was on the show, mm-hmm. and his work with Soul Force.
Right.
I know that you've had connection with the King family, Martin Luther King's family, right. and some of their peaceful protests. And kind of, can you talk a little bit about that and some of the, besides obviously biblically and your relationship with God and with Christ, what have been the people who walk amongst us that have fed you and that you have felt able to derive
right.
sources of strength from?
Well, there are almost too many to name. I mean, there are some folks who stand out in particular ways, but what I would say is a general answer to that, Amy, is, and it's one of the ways we talk about community here, is that when you connect, are willing to be open to and connect with people who express a difference from who you are in terms of your identity, that often provides the greatest opportunity for growth and inspiration. So as I relate, not only, I'm a white, straight male,
right.
Okay. And as I relate
America.
To, we're supposed to be in charge here.
Yes.
But in fact, when I find myself in my identity, as I find myself relating to people who have experienced various kinds of oppressions or exclusions or alienation and have shown and have lived through that, not always without being wounded, but coming out on the other side, that's inspiration to see. To hear the stories of GLBT folks who have come out to their families, been rejected by their families, lost their jobs, lost their friends, and somehow find new life, that to me is the gospel being lived out once again. To see people of color, and particularly gay people of color in this congregation at least, who have to experience the dual oppressions, being subject to the dynamics of racism because of the color of their skin, and at the same time being subject to the demons of heterosexism, being rejected because of those whom they love.
Yeah.
That's what's inspirational for me.
Now, I know that back when the church was on trial, you were on trial, I guess. Felt like the church was on trial because you're right. a big part of the church. But when the church was on trial, Fred Phelps, who mm-hmm. is definitely a big advocate of hate, I would say, yes. with his signs of, fags in hell and
right.
And all of these things, at that time, that weekend, when that happened here in Chicago, and Fred Phelps showed up with some of his people, and it was a big public event, and there were Catholics and Jewish and Protestant leaders, ministers, and lay people who surrounded this church while
That's
we
right.
had a service on the inside. And I just want to know what you think about confronting, because you kind of just mentioned that in your last statement. What do you feel about confronting? I mean, I'd always heard don't thump with a Bible thumper, but how do we confront people who believe differently than we do? I guess that's a simple question. How do we confront them, or do we? Or well, do we just live a life that is a witness?
Certainly we live a life as a witness, regardless of what other strategies we're pursuing.
So they can't say gay people are all X because you live
right.
However you live.
The other part of it, though, is what I believe about having enemies. I think it's fascinating. Jesus never said don't have enemies. Jesus said you're going to have enemies. Enemies are those who would destroy or try to injure or harm that which is precious about you or around you. And when someone is trying to harm or wound or destroy that which is precious, we have a responsibility to stop that destructive action. So simply to allow it to go unchecked is a violation of the abilities God gave us to make a difference. On the other hand, those who are carriers of that kind of hate and destruction are still human beings. And when Jesus said, love your enemies, I don't think he meant walk down the street holding hands with them.
Right.
I think what he said is never lose sight of the fact that part of the reason that they act out with that kind of hatred, which is such a violation of who they were created to be, that they're doing that because of their own woundedness. And so while we can, while we're called to stop the destructive action, or we're called to confront it and to say no more, the line stops here. When we're called to do that, we never lose sight of the humanity of the ones who are the agents of that kind of destruction.
But sometimes it's not somebody as big, like Fred Phelps, with
no.
This big sign done on poster board that says, God hates fags.
Right.
And sometimes it's just small people within your family or within the community who you know disapprove of you and might potentially just use the, and I've said this on Oprah's After the Show, so I can mm-hmm. say it on this, you know, that my father gave me the hate the sin, love the sinner.
Yeah.
And it can be the people closest to you. What do you give as advice or counsel to someone who may come up within that in their own family, who's like, well, I just still think it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong, and I'm praying for you.
Well, I've spent over 30 years debating the issue of homosexuality in the Bible.
Yeah.
And as I often say, in 30 years of debating, probably an average of once a month for 30 years, I have never won a single debate.
With whom? With other?
Never. With someone on the other side, someone who's out to talk about the abomination that homosexuality is, we throw Bible passages back and forth at each other. And I've never won a debate, but I've never lost one, Amy. Because what we're talking about when we talk about this argument mm-hmm. is something that uses religious symbolism as a way of backing up, supporting, and providing a structure for our value system. And I don't believe I have the power to convert someone who's filled with that kind of bigotry. Huh. I think when I do involve myself in those kinds of public debates, my agenda at that time is always to present for the folks who have gathered to hear the debate an alternative to what they may have heard was the only way of understanding Christianity, which is as a religion of hate.
So how would you do that? Like if somebody says the Leviticus, man shall not lie with man, or Romans, or it's only a couple of verses they could actually refer to. Yeah,
seven deadly passages.
There are seven deadly passages. Right. Okay, I don't know what those are, but we'll try to put those down on the podcast. You don't have to list them all off.
No.
But give me an example of what somebody might say. And
well, the strongest one is the one that in Leviticus that says, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman, for it's an abomination, and he shall be put to death.
Okay.
And so when I'm involved in a debate about that, and someone says, that says, that's clearly in the Word of God, that's God's Word, my response is twofold. One is, are you really ready to have every gay man killed because he's had sex with another man? Are you really ready to propose that? And there's only one person I've ever debated who said yes, and that was Fred Phelps.
Okay.
And then the second thing I said is, are you really ready to take all of the passages and all the verses of the Bible as having equal weight without looking at their background? Right. Yes, I am, the response always comes. And so I say, well, take a look at one chapter later in the book of Leviticus where it talks about children disobeying their parents. And it says very clearly, a child who disrespects his parents is an abomination before the Lord, and shall be taken to the gates of the village and stoned to death. I said, now, if we're going to follow every word of the Bible with that kind of literal adherence that people want for the Leviticus passage about men having sex, are we ready to start killing teenagers who mouth off to their parents?
Right.
The fact is that...
Generations would stop.
The reality is that no one takes every word of the Bible with equal power and equal validity. And when you take a look at the cultural background, even about that passage, it has less to do with what you're doing sexually than it has to do with violating what they perceive to be one's natural orientation. My argument has always been that I agree with the Apostle Paul that says people should not abandon their natural desires for unnatural lust. And that means every gay or lesbian person who is naturally attracted and responds to someone of the same gender violates the biblical call to wholeness if they try to make themselves other than what they are.
So truly the sin is to not be authentically who you are.
Exactly.
To live a lie.
Who God gave you to be.
Right.
Our sexuality, like our gender, like all of our identity, is a gift from God. And God gave us that gift to celebrate and to use and to make a difference in this world. And to begin to deny that, to begin to put that down, to begin to trash it, is to me borders on blasphemy in terms of challenging God's good created act.
Now, I do want to talk about the services here at Broadway and just what are some clues that people might look at in their own community to maybe finding a church home. Let's start there. If people are listening to this, I mean, obviously there are some resources to finding out what are affirming services and churches in Chicagoland area. Obviously, Broadway and Methodist Church is a great one, and we'll talk about specific services here. But if someone is in a different community, the word reconciling is usually...
there are words like that, reconciling, open and affirming congregations. There are congregations that are very explicit about their invitation and welcome to GLBT folks. Some of that has to be approached cautiously, because there are some churches that will say, we very much welcome gay and lesbian folks into our church. And then once they get in, to say, well, you're welcome here as long as you're willing to repent of your sexual orientation.
Right.
And that's not a celebration of God's gift.
But there have been a lot, I mean, especially in the Protestant churches, and the UCC has had some advances, Episcopal denomination. Methodist obviously have these reconciling and affirming denominations within. But just to kind of go in cautiously, is that what you would recommend Obviously, it's a good opportunity to visit different churches.
The last church I served in Oak Park, I remember there was a person who was brand new to the congregation, an African-American woman, who happened to come on a Sunday preceding our meeting when we were deciding whether we were going to be a reconciling congregation. And she decided to come to that meeting, brand new person, and she listened to the debate for a while as people said what people often say, and that is, well, we welcome everybody. And she said, she spoke to the group, she said, I realized, all of a sudden it came to me that that's not a good enough statement. She said, with my black skin, when I walk into a congregation, it takes me almost as long as 3 minutes to know whether they really mean it in terms of a welcoming a person of another color.
Right.
She said, but if you're gay or lesbian, there's no way that you're going to know that until something explicit is expressed. And so for that reason, we need to be explicit about our welcome. So my first piece of advice is look for congregations that are explicit in their welcome and affirmation, and not just simply practicing tolerance, because tolerance is the attitude you use for that which you just soon not have around. but to really look for congregations that have a position of affirmation and celebration. And then secondly, if that explicit message isn't there, then I would encourage people to very explicitly, directly speak with the pastor or the priest or whoever it is, and ask them about their understanding of sexual orientation as a gift from God. Well, just their understanding of sexual orientation, and what they have experienced in terms of the level of welcome in the congregation.
Well, we should also say Dignity is a national organization.
Roman
Catholic. So talk about some of the services here briefly at Broadway during the holiday time. And people can go to the Broadway website. We will link that here on our homepage. Mm-hmm. It's BRDWYUMC.org.
Very good, Amy.
It's kind of Broadway without any of the vowels, UMC.org. So you have services throughout the entire Advent season.
Right. We're going to begin with the first Sunday in Advent is the first Sunday in December, and we're going to begin exploring this theme, seeking the center, looking for that which is authentic in our lives and in our world, that that can be uncovered once we get through some of the surface stuff. That's going to be our Advent journey. So each Sunday during Advent, during the four, those are the four Sundays that prepare us for Christmas. We'll take another step in terms of seeking the center and exploring and affirming that center. We have Sacrament of Holy Communion on the first and third Sundays at our very early service at 8:15, but it'll be celebrated as on the first Sunday of Advent, and that's a pretty powerful and special time.
The regular services are at 11.
9:15, 8:15, 9:15, and 11:15.
11:15. Okay.
Right. So 11:15 tends to be the more popular in this neighborhood of younger
yes.
adults.
Get here at 11, though. That may be why I'm thinking 11, because if you don't
right.
get here
if you
early,
don't get here
you'll
11, it's hard to find a seat. But there's great music. We've got a great director of music. It's a lively worship service. For people who are looking for something quieter, our 8:15 service is very small, maybe 12 or 15 people. It's a more reflective service. But the 9:15 and 11:15 are the really high-spirited services where a message of welcome and affirmation and celebration is present every Sunday, regardless of who's preaching. The second Sunday in Advent, our 9:15 service will be given over to a service of healing. We do healing services once a quarter and make a distinction. We make a distinction between being cured and being healed. Being cured is in some ways not even as important as being healed, because you can be dying and be healed.
Right.
That doesn't mean that you're going to escape your terminal illness, but it does mean that you'll be whole. And that's what our healing service is
about.
So
it's no leap of faith with your Steve
no,
Martin and
no
the crutches
smack,
get thrown off
no,
and somebody walks
don't,
away.
Don't smack people on the
yeah.
forehead. But we do take the healing seriously. Healing not just for ourselves personally, but for relationships and for our world. And then we have Christmas Eve, December the 24th, is the fourth Sunday in Advent in the morning. So we'll complete our Advent journey in the morning and then come together for two services on Christmas Eve night, one at 7:30, which we call a Festival of Light. It's just a really spirited, kind of joyous celebration. And then the 11 o'clock service, which is the story and the mystery, which again is a little more reflective, although both those services have candlelight and carols and communion, and take that right to the very center of who we are, because we believe that's where the center is. So it's a great time. It's a great month.
You are a busy man in the month yeah. of December, aren't you?
Have a good time, though.
It's awfully good. Well, Broadway United Methodist Church is located at 3344 North Broadway at the corner of Broadway and Buckingham. And really appreciate you being on with us. And if I just want to leave everybody with one last thought. You know, I've talked a lot, and maybe we'll have you on again. I've talked a lot about, and I've been asked on another podcast on Richard Bluestein's podcast, what I thought was one of the biggest challenges to the GLBT community now after 10 years of doing the work that I've done. And this has been something that has been kind of my mission the past few years. And I said that I believe that we have replaced the spiritual with the sexual, mm-hmm. and that we seem to be one of the few communities in the world that is called a community, whether, you know, some communities are based on their race or their religion or mm-hmm. their geography, who doesn't seem to feel like the spiritual life is a core part of who we are and how we are as a community. But and so we may talk about that, because we could talk about that for 30 minutes,
well,
possibly.
I want to give you 30 seconds on, or less, Amy. I just want
yeah.
to say that the problem is when we separate the spiritual and the sexual. Sexuality is a spiritual expression, and spirituality can be an erotic expression in the best sense of the word. And so I think part of it is anytime we start fragmenting and dividing ourselves off into parts, we're in trouble.
Yeah. So what would you encourage people? I do want to talk about that. I think that's a whole other show.
Okay.
So we'll table that one. But so what would you say to encourage people to try to take this? What is it about this holiday season? You know, whatever kind of faith you practice, that is a season to possibly reconnect to your center, thing that you're talking about.
Right. It both has a danger and it has a wonderful possibility. The danger is because there's such intensity around the holidays, the expectations of connection get raised so high that
and
it's
families
almost,
and
families,
and,
all
and depression
of it.
And sadness
right.
and loss. It brings up so much.
It's a very painful time. But to remember that it can be a very painful time, and to remember that the pain, again, I don't want to be a broken record, but the pain doesn't have to have the last word. That there can be healing and there can be life. And to claim community where you find it, where there's a willingness to be challenged and to challenge, to comfort and to be comforted, and to always claim that community first as a spiritual home.
Right, so you may have a spiritual experience at dinner at a restaurant with people, right, but to try to surround yourself with the center of yourself, mm-hmm, and those that you love during this period of time. We talked with Amy Armstrong and Freddie about their music, about how as a gay community, sometimes we are creating our own families. We're creating our own community within, mm-hmm, the community. And I really appreciate you being such a strong part of the community for me.
Well, thanks.
And for many other people, and also for just sharing with us your gifts during this holiday season.
Good to talk with you again.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at WCMGPromo@AOL.com.
And folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.